I was looking this morning, and I'm going to start with this verse, and we'll see where we go with this. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13, again, this is a familiar verse. I'm sure you've heard a lot of teaching about this verse. It's a great verse. Ephesians 4:13, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's a lot, all kind of compressed into one verse. Let me read that again. Till we all, you and I, all of us in the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus. Now, the reason I'm going to start with this, and we'll go back and look what leads up to this in just a few seconds, but we focus a lot, which we should, we focus a lot on that first phrase of Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, if you take this entire section, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and the King James, different versions of the Bible have different headings and different titles for headings. In the New King James, as you start chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, the title is Walking in Unity. And so you can see there's a real focus on that unity. And we see that a lot. We focus a lot on that. And when we read it there in verse number 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Our focus usually, when we talk about that kind of unity, our focus usually is on our unity together as a body of Christ, us coming to one, being unified as a body, being one in Jesus Christ. And that certainly is a vital and important element of what's being said. But we can't just stop there. To fully understand this verse and to fully understand the concepts that are being shared as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, we have to take it in the fullness of what's being said. Because it is unity of you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. Absolutely, that is imperative. But this is also talking about the unity that we have with Jesus himself. There is a unity and a oneness that is expected of us. Now, let's look at that with that understanding, with that expectation. So when we think about the unity that's being talked about here, let's expand, open up our minds to see more than just that unity. And again, I'm not minimizing that. It is imperative that you and I, as believers, there is a oneness that we have in Jesus. We are to be unified. We're to be one in Christ. Not minimizing that at all. But let's go to the deeper level. Let's go to the next level. Let's understand the fullness of what he's saying. Because you can see that there is a unity he's talking about, which is your unity with me and mine with you in Christ, the unity of the body of Christ. But he's also talking about my unity and your unity with him, the unity that we have with him, the oneness that we do have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you start at the very beginning of that verse, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called." So Paul is saying, listen, I'm in prison for what I believe. And from this place where I am, I'm beseeching you. I'm setting the example. You're to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. So that means as a Christian, it's possible for me to walk unworthily. And pretty obvious what that would be. That's, you know, walking in opposition to the things of the Word. As he's about to say, it's not walking together with each other. And as I'm trying to also illustrate to you, it's walking our lives not enjoying and focusing and developing that oneness that we have, that unity that we have with the Father through Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot in that unity. Look, Jesus even talked about this. Let's go back to John for just a second. In John chapter 17, Jesus spends John chapter 17. This is a great section. And he's just praying. And we see him praying for himself. Then we see him praying for his disciples. But then we also see this. Now, I want you to consider this. So he prayed for his disciples, but then he also says this. Again, in John chapter 17, let's read in verse number 18 on. "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." So he's talking about the disciples, which is still you and I. "In the same way that God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has sent the disciples into the world. In the same way that God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus is now sending you and I as his followers. The expectation is that we will develop that discipleship. And as his disciples, we will be then sent into the world to represent him. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by truth. Now look at this, verse number 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So this is directly now relating all this to you and I. Because of the word that was preached by the disciples, because of the things that they did after the day of Pentecost, and after they went to Jerusalem and they started to spread the word. And we know that as we read through the rest of the epistles, we know that they turned the world upside down. These few men turned the world upside down. Few, which very quickly became thousands. Now look what he says here in verse number 21. That they all may be one. So we're talking about each of us being one together. That's the unity of us in the body. That they all may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. So when we talk about unity and being walking in unity as a body of believers, being one in Jesus Christ, yes, we're definitely talking about you and I as a body, as believers, being in unity together. That's imperative. But it also clearly, Jesus in his prayer was also saying that we would walk together in unity, but also equally important, if not more important, is the fact that he says that they all may be one, so you and I are one together in Christ. How? As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also, so it goes beyond. It's not just the oneness, the unity of us as a body of Christ. Imperative, absolutely. I emphasize that. Imperative, absolutely. But he goes on beyond there, and sometimes we forget to go to that next step. We focus only on the importance of being the unity of believers. The unity, walking in unity of believers. Important, yes. But the second part of that is, and I in you, that they, that's talking about you and I, collectively and individually may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. He's talking about us being one. We have that unity with him. That unity with God, God the Father, through Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. That they also may be one in us. We're to be one in Jesus Christ, in the Father, through Jesus Christ. And in so doing, the world may believe that you sent me. So again, when we go back and look at Ephesians chapter 4, this is that whole chapter that's talking about unity and walking in unity. This is exactly what even Paul is talking about. It's the unity of us as the body of Christ, but it's also the unity, the oneness that we have with the Father through Jesus Christ. This was the prayer that Jesus spoke. That means not only is it possible, because he wouldn't have prayed it if it wasn't possible. Not only is it possible, it is what he has prepared the way for. It's what he's made possible, and it's the expectation that he has for us. And when I say expectation for us, it's not an expectation for us simply so that we will achieve that, but it's for us. It's for our benefit. It is for our development. It's for our good. It's for our favor. It's for our blessing. So now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, Paul says, I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called. So how do I walk worthy of the calling from which I was called? Well, in part, it has to do with being one with each other, having that unity, but also focusing on and developing that unity, that oneness that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And that very first verse that I read, which was Ephesians 4:13, we again see that emphasized. If you read the whole verse, till we all come to the unity of the faith. And I hope with our current understanding of that, that means unity of the faith, that we are one in our faith, but we are also, it's a collective unity of us in the body of Christ, but it's also individual. It's personal. It is you being one and having that depth of relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And how does it come? It comes by the knowledge, the knowing. This is a growing thing. The knowing of the Son of God or Jesus, that we strive towards that perfection of Jesus to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He wants us to do this because the more that we understand that we have that direct personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he wants us to have that oneness with him, that unity with him. Because as we have that unity with him, we grow in our knowledge, we grow in our knowing, we grow in our understanding of Jesus. And in that growing of our understanding of Jesus, it is through that growing, through that growth, through that understanding, that we get that measure. We become that measure to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Through that knowing of Jesus Christ, through that unity, you as an individual, in unity with Jesus Christ because of what he did, and your acceptance of what he did, you have that more knowledge, which leads to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Now, we can look at that, and we'll probably look at that tomorrow, because there's even some great things in there. But let's go on with what Paul said. Verse number 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. So we're seeing here the element of that unity with each other in the body of Christ, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. So part of it is verse number 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. This is that focus on that unity as a body, unity in Jesus Christ, unity with each other, the unity of the body. But then we see that in verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is that unity that we have with him, that unity with you have unity with him through the Spirit that is in you. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you. Can you see when you read those verses, you can see how the Lord is talking to us about that unity both ways, that unity that we have together as the body of Christ, that we are unified in him as a body. But it's also talking about that very direct personal, the singleness, the oneness of you being one with him, the unity that you have with him. So again, when we talk about this unity, walking in unity, yes, it's walking in unity as a body of believers, but we cannot minimize or overlook or forget or fail to see and understand that he's also talking to us about that oneness that we have, that unity that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ, that oneness with him through the Holy Spirit. We have a oneness with God the Father through Jesus Christ because of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Because of what Jesus did with the Holy Spirit in us, we have oneness with the Father. This is the goal, and this is how we're supposed to walk with that understanding, because it's only through that. Look, walking in unity with you is not going to help me develop. It's not going to bring me to the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love you, but if you walk with me, I'm not going to bring you to the stature of the fullness of Christ. I can't. I'm a man, and you can't do it for me. However, as we understand that unity, that oneness we have with him, and we develop that, that develops our knowledge, and it leads us to that place of having the measure of the stature of the fullness. That's the measure I want. What measure do you want? I want the measure of the stature, the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. When we read Ephesians chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, read that today on your own and just see. Let the Holy Spirit show you the combination of us walking together and being unified, but also that oneness that he speaks about, that oneness personal. It's personal between you and him. It's personal between Jesus and you, and he wants you to enjoy, explore, develop that oneness in him.